Welcome to Why Mastermind. The topics will be raw, unedited, and unfiltered. Viewer discretion is advised.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Why Mastermind. I'm your host, Joshua Bennett. I have Joshua Nelson on. Joshua, this might be a little bit confusing as we go along on the podcast, but. Do you mind just giving those people who don't know you a little bit of an elevator pitch about who you are, you know, why you're on the podcast?
All right, yeah, no problem. First of all, thank you for having me, Joshua. You know, it's always cool pairing with another Joshua, so, you know, this episode is going to be lit. But yeah, guys, my name is Joshua Nelson. I'm the founder and CEO of Emotion Ideals Incorporated. We are a U.S. patented sports and entertainment technology company that has combined advanced gaming technology with real electric motor vehicles to introduce a whole new motorsport, a new hybrid combat motorsport that we call battle racing. Simply put, we bring in games like Mario Kart to real life, and I like to think that that's why I'm on the podcast today.
You know what? I absolutely love gaming. I'm a huge car guy as well. So
yeah.
I was like go karting. I've done go karting a couple times, and I'm like, well, gaming and go karting. I'm like, how does that work?
Right.
So what's your story? What? How did you get to this point? Because again, I know that the entrepreneurship journey is long and hard sometimes. Yeah. So if you could just share your story, just about how you kind of grew up, and then building your business and some of the hurdles that you had to kind of go through.
Yeah, most definitely. So I will have to take this back to 2014. So 2014 is when I first came up with the idea. I was at a place called Putt-Putt. It's like a entertainment center, a big staple in the Memphis City community. And I went go-karting one day, man, and I don't know if you know anything about overtake, but overtake is when you try to surpass the person in front of you. Like, you try to find the perfect opportunity to surpass them. And for the life of me, I just couldn't do it. Like, I just could not pass this guy. This guy was just too good. And I was like, man. I was like, what if I could just take a page out of Mario Kart and, like, throw a turtle shell at him to slow him down and speed boost around him? And so when I got done racing, I kept talking about the idea to friends and family, and they said, well, if you can't stop talking about it, maybe you should be the one to make it happen. So I just kind of buckled down, dig down, and just try to figure out what does bringing Mario Kart to real life look like? And it needed to be practical, realistic. It needed to not look cheesy. It needed to be something that can grow and scale. Yeah. One thing led to another. Now we're sitting here with the three granted U.S. patents later, two prototypes later, a full team, and now we have an opportunity to introduce a whole new way to view motorsport racing.
Okay. Well, you know what? I can kind of resonate with you a little bit as well, because even in my own business, you know, I was working back in, I think 2017, I was working at Lindt, and I was working over the Christmas season. Very, very easy to sell chocolate during that time. It basically sold itself. So essentially, what I had bought with the money over Christmas was, I bought a PS4, because, of course, you know. And then I bought a pair of JBL headphones. And what ended up happening with the headphones was they ended up breaking in two. I don't really know how. I've completely forgotten by now, but they ended up breaking. And I've been talking to my aunt about, like, actually building my own stuff, and she's like, Joshua, instead of going back to the retailer, having to go through all that stuff, why don't you look at building your own? And I'm like, okay, you know, it'll probably be an easy process, right? How hard could it be? Reasonably, right? How hard could it be? 5 years later, I'm here. I'm building something that my country has not seen. I've spent a lot of time speaking to doctors, you know, engineers, things like that, trying to move things forward. I've actually had to actually learn SolidWorks to actually get things done. And again, it's really helped me kind of grow into that skill set. So I guess my next point, or my next question to you would be, what skills did you have to kind of grow into to actually get to where you are?
People management skills. I will say, being a CEO, the biggest quality I've had to grow is dealing with people, building the team, networking, you know. So a lot of people want to be in what they consider the CEO seat, but you don't understand. A CEO position is not to be served, but to serve others, exactly. To make sure everybody else is good. Because if I make sure everybody else is good, they'll make sure I'm good and the business is good. So I'm always in that position just trying to juggle people's emotions, feelings, needs, and things of that nature. A lot of times I find myself putting my needs and things on the back burner so I can make sure I'm present for those that's assisting me. So, I mean, I would say that's the biggest thing. I've had to learn an array of things, everything from drawing power items for the graphics all the way to understanding how the hardware works down to mechanics to how to take the tires and the belts. I'll have a go-kart and change tires. So, yeah, I've definitely learned a lot in this process, and definitely making me a well-rounded CEO.
Did you start off with gas-powered first, or did you? I know that your go-karts are electric-powered now, and I'm just curious, what was the innovation process like for you?
Yeah, we started off on electric. You know, being that we was going to need the code, the speed factor, and things like that, we just went straight to electric. More things, we can add more features. We don't have to worry about pistons firing. <None of that. laughs> So, yeah.
So I guess my next question would more or less be to you would be, what kind of hurdles did you have to deal with? Did you have to deal with regulators? You know, did you have to deal with designers and suppliers and things like that? I know that. Trying to build something that really hasn't been seen before, I'm saying more so on the physical side and then the software side, it can be a little bit difficult to actually make things happen, especially when you have government regulators and you have people actually getting in or trying something that is technology based that could, and not to be morbid, but it could explode, right? And again, making sure that again, your concept is good and solid. What were some of your hurdles?
Yeah, so I mean, as far as hurdles, funding is always one of the biggest hurdles, you know.
Yeah,
that's why I work so much, because it takes money to make money.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, you know, supplies and materials, hurdles of regulators, you know, we may have to deal with regulators like FIA in the future, but right now, being that we are in amusement entertainment, we just figured it would be easier to not reinvent the wheel per se, but to take existing technology and modify it. They've already done the regulations and made sure it was safe. We just wanted to take, you know, off-shelf go-karts, take off the steering wheel, add our own custom steering wheel, display screens, and then integrated additional technology. So as far as development, you know, we work with a company called Prefix. It's like a one-stop shop in a sense. Mm-hmm. They handle all of my hardware and they did some software. I work with a gaming company for all the gaming graphics. Then I work with some contractors to do some of the, like, intermediary things.
Yeah.
So that's,
You know what? I would say that I kind of learned this late in my journey, more so about just because, again, I didn't have a big budget to kind of build with. So I kind of had to, especially when you hear, you know, it's $50,000 to build a prototype. And then people are like, well, you know, you should probably go over to China to build it. And I'm like, well, I made a promise to people here to actually make it in Canada. And yes, it may seem like a fool's errand, but I'm safe to say that we're actually getting it done, by hook or by crook, right? And really, I've had to grow. I've had to learn people's skills. I've had to really be active and be present and not allow fires to start from, like, small pockets and then build into forest fires that nearly burn down your business if you're not careful.
Right. And
again, I think what's really important as well is staying true to your core values and staying focused on the end goal, but allowing how you get there to change. Yeah. I know for me, what I had originally intended was to actually design and manufacture and build and actually build out our own custom earbuds, headphones, and speakers. And really, over the past number of years, I have kind of had to make some changes. But again, what I've also recognized as well is that doesn't have to change. It just means some things may change, some more like minor details may change, but on the whole, the concept will always still be the same. I'll still be able to meet that promise, right?
Right. Yeah, I kind of had the same process as well. You know, when I first started the idea, my mind went straight to, I want my own entertainment center. And then I kind of dialed, when I realized how much I needed to raise that and I didn't even have a prototype, so I kind of dialed back and restructured the company to just focus on the technology. And that's how Emotional Ideals became. Yeah. Emotional Ideals is the sports entertainment brain behind this whole idea. And now it's a full circle moment because now we're back to saying, okay, we have the technology, we have the patents. Do we want to sell to existing locations or do we want to exclusively deliver this technology to the customers via our own entertainment center, which is way more lucrative? Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at right now, is that pivot point of, okay, what does it take to do A or what does it take to go path B? Or maybe we can do both path A and B, but at different times.
Yeah, I know for me, really, even in my own journey, just trying to build the earbuds and headphones and things, I really recognize that to just sell headphones, everybody's just selling headphones, right? But then to add complimentary services or to actually go out of your way to get certified by regulators puts you a cut above and makes and ensures that you're held to a standard. Yes, it may be laborious and frustrating at times, because again, I've been there. But again, you're saying to your end user, hey, I didn't just take 6 months and hobble this together and then in my garage or in my basement and just be like, here, take this, right?
Right.
I went through the process. I had other people look at it, other people who weren't involved in my process whatsoever, and they approved it. And then that way, if something happens or if something were to happen to one of your go-karts, you know, it's like you can at least say to the core or even to your own team, we did everything right, and you guys made sure that you guys covered your bases, actually working with regulators, as much as I complain about it or it annoys me, it's definitely something that's kind of helped me grow as well, and again recognize that again going for various approvals actually opens more doors for funding and for the ability to go private. And then also to sell software and also to sell in retail as well, right? So again, you're opening yourself up to more opportunities, but again, it may cost you a little bit more, like in the present, but in the future it will pan out, right?
Right. It legitimizes your project. So you're not just building a product, you're not just trying to make a book, you're really trying to make a product.
Yeah, exactly. So I have an honest question for you. What were some of the naysayers? What were some of the things people said? I'm just genuinely curious.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the obvious. This is impossible. You can't do this. I've thought about this idea all of my life. What makes you special? You're not the first person to do something like this. Have you seen such and such?
Yeah.
You know, you're not a game. You're a motorsport. You're not a motorsport. You're a game. So I've heard a lot of excuses. I would say people told me that I couldn't patent this idea. I have three of them. People told me I couldn't build the prototypes. They're done. You know, people questioned my ability to build a team. We have an awesome team. So, you know, to get to where we are, you know, of course, we've done most of what we've done with limited amount of funding. So, I mean, I'm just pretty proud. I mean, the naysayers, I think for me, the beautiful thing is those that were naysayers are now secret supporters.
Yeah. That's so true. That is so true. So again, gaming, I know motorsports will continue to grow with NASCAR, you know, Formula Drift, F1, right? And especially in North America, it will start to grow even more. And again, gaming is already massive as it is, and as VR and augmented reality start to actually come in and actually start making things more more real life like, things will get more immersive, which again is good for you. I remember I was actually on a, where was I? I was looking at, I was on LinkedIn and I was looking at a post. And again, like one of the guys that I was following, he was talking about one of the old gaming complexes in his city, and he's like, well, okay, if I, hypothetically speaking, if I bought it, what could I put in there? And I'm like, well, you could technically make it augmented reality in VR, right, on one side, do conventional sports on the other. Right. And also do like a modification station as well. Right. So people can actually, if you wanted to go into like professional teams and things like that, then people could actually come to your complex and actually modify their stuff. So it's in a controlled environment. Right. They give people who know what they're doing, that they're not going to burn their house down trying to modify stuff. And it's in a controlled environment. But again, just again, recognizing the ability of building a community around what you're doing, and not only that, but also focusing on building an amazing product, but also building after the product is done. So
most definitely, so again,
the after scaling services.
Yeah, and that's for me. You know, I'm more excited about the scaling part than I am about the initial launch. You know, we have so much upside around this. You know, Joshua, I really think that we're building history. I think my project is going to cater to a portion of history. Yeah. Now, I do think that we're introducing a new motorsport. When you take a look at the history timeline, NASCAR started in 1948. Formula One started in 1950, and the go-kart was invented in 1956.
Yeah.
So we're here in 2024, 60-plus some years later, and things are mostly the same. So I'm very excited about, you know, the innovation that we provide, the evolution that we get to show. And I'm just excited about bringing different worlds together, because now we have a sport that can interest, that's inclusive to all ages, all races, whether you like racing or gaming. Yeah. It's now this hybrid industry between the two. So that's why I said, I think combat motorsports or battle racing is a perfect combination of showing how gaming can influence the physical and bring people together.
Yeah. And that's so true, because again, you know, families bring in a lot of money collectively with their buying power, right? And kids will eat it up, right? Adults will eat it up, right?
Right. And with that being said, I made this for adults. Kids can enjoy, but I made it for us.
Right. which is absolutely insane. I'm actually getting really excited because again, you know, it's just so different, and how you've modeled it. Like I what I'll do is I'm not gonna show the videos here. I'm gonna put them down in the description for a link so that you guys can actually see what Joshua and his team are working on, and just how different it is, and how it will transform your thoughts on gaming and on go-karting as well.
Yep.
I'm excited. So I guess to kind of wrap up, do you have any future plans? You know, what's going on in your world aside from, actually business-wise and personally as well?
I mean, honestly, everything in my life is kind of connected. You know, I got four children and a wife, and then I'm trying to build battle race. So... I will say right now, the most exciting thing that we got coming up is with our two prototypes, starting next week, we're going to start posting one versus one battle racing kind of tournaments. And that's going to be dope, man. I'm so excited to showcase that. So we got a few contestants that have lined up to kind of show their skills on the track. They're going to be racing me on the track, and we're going to film their experience, and we're going to show you guys how people react, what their skills look like. And my goal is, you know, we're starting with two go-karts, eventually battle racing live, we'll progress to maybe having 10, 20 go-karts on the track at a time.
Cool. Where can people find you?
We're actually all over social media. You can go to Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, search Battle Racing Live, or you can check out our website at battleracing.com. So, again, you can search Battle Racing Live on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, or you can go to our website, battleracing.com, and you can learn more. You can sign up, actually, to get a Pit Crew newsletter, so you can get updates, exclusive announcements where we announce things, as well as let you know when the first Battle Racing location for you to come to try it out.
Oh, cool. Okay. So yeah, I don't really have any more questions for at least for this side. I do have maybe one or two hot topic questions just to fill in the half an hour. But other than that, Joshua, thank you so much for coming on. Joshua Nelson, everybody.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Okay, so before we move on to the hot topic questions, be forewarned, this part of the podcast for 7 minutes of seven minutes worth of it, will be just not politically correct at all. It'll just be Joshua's unedited thoughts on things and how things are going. So if you want to turn off,
let me get some water now, for this.
Right? We love you. Anyway. I honestly have a question because I know how difficult it was for me to build in Canada can I be honest?
Yeah.
Canada's ecosystem is very different from the US. In terms of funding, in terms of getting suppliers and things like that. I mean, I would love I would have loved the opportunity to build my business down in the US, because again, there are a lot more opportunities. There are a lot more types of connections that you could pull. But again, I'd like to get your opinion on just the state of entrepreneurship in the US and how you kind of see it kind of changing and moving even as an entrepreneur.
You know, if I must be honest, I will say that in this space of entrepreneurship, as with a lot of things in life, is typically different or more difficult when you look like me.
Yeah.
You know, you would think that in America we would have surpassed all the racism and all the, you know, down talk that you have seen over the years, but it's still alive and well. You know, I've seen individuals with barely an ideal on the back of a napkin, no patents, no product, no vision, get funding. And you have individuals, companies with revenue, with teams, still struggling to get funding. So I will say in this country, it's all about who you know. Relationships matter. Networking matters. You know, so, yeah, that's kind of my take on it. You know, I've really gotten this far through leveraging my relationships to open doors that I don't think that would have been open with me trying to do this on my own.
Yeah. Did you use like a lot of accelerators and incubators when you were building your stuff? Yeah, same with me. I
didn't go through. I mean, I tried to give them a shot. Like, some basically told me, like, we don't know what we'll do for you. Like, you kind of done a lot of the work. We don't really know. And some promised, but it looks like they wouldn't deliver. You know, they all want equity. They want a piece of your company. But what's my guarantee? And I didn't really like that. And so, you know, I really did things on my own. Find angel investors, leverage credit cards, you know, refinance homes, friends and family, angel round. That's kind of how I raised my round. I haven't received any institutional funding just yet.
It's coming though, but
yeah, it's it's coming, yeah.
But again, like you said, I mean, even in Canada, I'm in Toronto. It's absolutely terrible. I've spoken to entrepreneurs both here in Canada and here in the U.S. and or down in the U.S. and even in Europe, and they all say the exact same thing that finding funding has been notoriously difficult. Finding funding for Canadian entrepreneurs, most of them have to go south of the border to get funding because again everything's so traditional and centralized. Like unless you have a just plainly software idea that can be erected in 6 months or finance or healthcare, right? You're set. But other than that, if I'm in manufacturing, so again, I'm seen as dirty, right? I'm not seen as a viable way to scale And again, I've been told as much that again, why am I trying to build here in Canada when I could very easily go overseas and do it for a lot less? And I'm like, well, to be honest with you, I love my country. I want to build something that will last, that ties into the brand story, that again shows that Canada is open for business, even though, you know, our government is really trying its best to kind of kill the entrepreneur. And even so much as you hear, you know, foreign immigrants coming in and then in like 2 weeks they're gone. They've gone back home, right? And we have a housing issue here. We have all different kinds of stuff that's really putting weight on the system. So even so much so the government says there's government funding for business, or there's funding for this, or there's funding for that, and you recognize, no, it's mainly loans for profit businesses, the businesses that will help move the economy forward and help get people more housing, you know, to reach their next goal. But again, if you're a nonprofit, there's tons of funding for you. And yeah. And again, I've even spoken to accelerators and incubators here, and again, I've had mentors tell me straight to my face that, like, you know, I know people who have sat on the boards for accelerators and incubators, and they're like, well, it's a cash grab. It's all big companies trying to get in before you raise a lot of money, and then you're able to actually challenge them. I remember a story just before we end of a chocolate company here in Canada. They're based in Montreal, and they were challenging Hershey at one time. And Hershey, and actually they still are, but again, in this particular story, Hershey sent them a cease and desist letter for a color, and they were going to sue for a color.
For the color brown?
Orange. Orange. Right. So again, it's not, and again, entrepreneurship is not easy. But again, I really hope to one day make it easier for the people that are coming behind me, right? So then that way they don't have just a community of people. They actually have actual funding opportunities that can kind of come in and help them get started. I also love Elon Musk's idea of just doing like almost like a business shower when you start. It's kind of modeled after a baby shower, right? So again, you and the prospective entrepreneur have a party, right? And then people actually give the entrepreneur things that they need. So like, for example, if you need a gift card to pay for legal fees, done. If you need this, done. If you need contacts for mentors, done. Right? So again, you're not spending as much time trying to get started and trying to fish in a very, very large pond, and there's bottlenecks at times.
Yeah.
Right. And again, that just makes things easier for everybody. But again, thank you so much for just coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, it was a blast. All right.
Yes, sir.
I'll stop the recording.
Thank you for listening to Why Mastermind. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, please visit the website and hit the Be a Guest tab. If you want the show clips, please read the folder description before accessing the clips. All relevant links are in the podcast description. All episodes are available wherever you consume podcasts.